Daf is Daf Nun Beis. So we got to the last two lines of Nun Aleph Amud Beis. We're talking about the Minhagim. This whole parak, not whole parak, but much of this parak is about Minhagim. So the Gemara says, Amar le Rav Safra le Rabbi Abba, kugon anan diyadinan b'kfiyah diyircha. We, who know the kfiyah diyircha, in other words, we know when the right day is, when the right Rosh Chodesh is, and we just simply keep Shayam Tovim Shay Galios for a Minhag Ba'alma, but we know in reality the second day is not really the Yandiv. In the yishuv, in the areas where people live, in the cities and towns where people live, the din is we don't do melacha, even though we know that's not really necessary. We don't do the melacha in order to avoid any machlokas. Some say because of Maris Ayin, others say it's because it will actually lead to a real machlokas. So that's the din, as Rashi says in the top of Nun Beis. B'yishuv lo avidna melacha b'yam tov sheni. Because they have this practice, the minagav osena biyadenu, like the Gemara in Beita says, so we continue that practice without starting any type of machlokas. Tosas writes on the top there, b'yishiv lo avdinan, afilu betzina, you can't do melacha afilu betzina, v'afilu daitalach, so even if you plan to return back to, let's say, Eretz Yisrael, where you don't keep 2 days, it's impossible, you can't do melacha betzina. Now it's clear from Tosas, he assumes it's because of leading to machlokas. Because had it been because of Maris Ayin, the din by Maris Ayin is Asra Afil B'chad Dechadarm, he wouldn't have to explain that it's not possible to do a Melacha B'tzina. The fact that he's explaining that, it sounds like it's not because of Maris Ayin, it's rather because it might lead to some Machlokas, but you're going to find out about it, and it will lead to a Machlokas. Either way, the Gemara says, B'yishuv it's Asra to do this. The Gemara wants to know, B'midbar Mai, what about the Midbar? Nobody lives there, no one's going to see anything, no one's going to lead to a Machlokas, what's the din by that? So Gemara says, Amalei, Hachi Amar Rev Ami, B'yishuv Asr, B'midbar Mutar. It's Asr only where people live, but in the Midbar where nobody lives, it's completely permitted to do Malacha on Yom Tov Sheni. So there's a big discussion in the post-game, what a person should do, a Ben Eretz Yisrael, who's in Chutzar, so Yom Tov Sheni, what practices does he have to do? So he certainly is not allowed to do any Malacha, but what he should do as well, he needs to take both Chumras. So he needs to daven, says the Mishnah Berurah, a full Shemona Esrei of 18 bracha, because for him it's really Chol. So he doesn't do Malacha, he dresses up like Yom Tov, but he's davening by himself a weekday Shabbat, a weekday davening. He has to put on tefillin as well, Betina. These are some of the Malachas he has to do. Now interesting, the post can talk about, let's say you're Ben Eretz Yisrael, and let's say it's Shabbos, let's say Thursday's Shvi Shah Pesach, Erev Shabbos is the 8th day of Pesach. Now, Achron Shah Pesach. So now for you, your chametz is bought back already by from the goy. So you own chametz, you can actually eat chametz. But you're currently in Chutzlartz, so are you allowed to eat chametz? Let's say you have access to chametz that you now know was bought back Erev Shabbos. Are you allowed to eat it? Because for you, it's not really Yom Tov. And then Rav Moshe writes, even though you'd be allowed to eat chametz in Chutzlartz, like that would be davar garua, and one should not eat it, even though in theory one would be able to. Now, this concept of two Yom Tovim Shal Yom Tov, because even though we know Kfir D'Yircha, we have a minag not to, rather a minag to keep 2 days. Now, there are two exceptions, we don't do 2 days. One exception is Yom Kippur. Why don't we keep 2 days of Yom Kippur? So there's a Gemara Rashan Daf Chaf Alf that says that Rava actually did keep 2 days of Yom Kippur. That's a big thing, but the Rama says not to do it, it's a sakana. But Lamai said, why don't we? So one is a sakana, but the Chassam Tovim says the minag was never to do 2 days, that's why. This whole concept is only predicated on a minag. The minhag was never to keep 2 days of Yom Kippur, so therefore, since it's not a minhag, we don't have to keep it, we shouldn't encourage it, we actually discourage keeping 2 days of Yom Tov. But the other scenario is 2 days, why don't we count 2 days of Sfiras HaOmer? Right? We don't know if it's a first day, second day of Pesach, a third day of Pesach. Keep 2 days, keep two counts going along the way. So the few different answers are given. One is the Baal Mor says, since Bizman HaZeh, it's only Midir Abanan counting Sfiras HaOmer, that's debatable, but he says it's Midir Abanan Bizman HaZeh. So Midir Banan, we're not so machmir. That's one answer, he says. Number two is, he says, if you count 2 days of Sfiras HaOmer, so what happens when you get to first day of Shavuos? You're going to count another time, the 49th day, when it's already the 50th day of Shavuos. That's going to be a zilzil to the first day of Yom Tov. So the Shnei Yom Tov and Shogolios cannot be in a way where it's mezalzil a Yom Tov. So it makes sense for all the days. But once you get to Shavuos, then everything gets messed up, so we don't keep 2 days of Yom Tov, 2 days of Sfira. And the last reason is, counting by definition has to be bimuchla, has to be decisive. Once you're counting, maybe it's day one, maybe it's day two, that already loses the element of being a Sfira, so that's why you only count 1 day for each night of Sfira. Okay. Gemara now says 3 lines down, Nun Bezim and Aleph here. Rav Nosson bar Asya, Ozil mi Beirav lepumpadisa b'yom tov sheni she'atzer. It's one time, Rav Nosson traveled from the base medrash, from the house of Rav, to Pumpadisa, which was Chutzlart, on Yom Tov Sheni. He went outside the Tchum. So Shamter of Yosef, Yosef put him in a Nidwe, he excommunicated him. So Amar Le Abaye, Abaye said, Linigde Mar, Nigide, why didn't you give him Malkus? Why Malkus and Mardis? Why did you only give him Nidwe? So Amar Le, Adifa Avdile, I actually did worse. Nidwe is worse than Malkus and Mardis. How do we know? The Bimarav in the West, which is a reference to Eretz Yisrael, Mimne Anigde de Bei Beirav, lo Mimne Ashamte. That they were only able to, and Rashi says, if Talmud Chacham did something inappropriate, they were only able to give him Malkus, but they weren't able to give him Nidwe, which implies, as Rashi, Nidwe is worse. They didn't have the capacity to give Nidwe. So I was able to give Nidwe, so Nidwe is actually worse than Malkus Mardis. That's the first understanding of this case. So Nidwe is worse. Ikadami, others say, Nagde Rav Yosef actually gave him Malkus Mardis. So Amalei Abai says, Nishmite, why didn't you give him Nidwe? The Rav Nishmite Mar, the Rav Shmuel Damri Tevai, both of them hold, Minadin Al Shnei Yamim Tovim Shagalias. When a person violates the second day of Yantiv, we actually put him in Nidwe. So why did you give him Malkus instead? So Amalei, Hanimili Inish Dalma. That's when you're talking about a stam person, a regular Yid. So there you give him Malkus. But here, Hachat Shurim Midir Bananhu. It's a Talmud Chacham, and the punishment should be more severe. The Tavulei, I did a greater punishment of delay. The Bamarava, Mimne Aniag Dasei, they were able to point, they were able to give out lashes, the Makas Mardis, Beirav, Lo Mimne Ashamte. So therefore, we see that they didn't have the ability to give Nidwe, so Nidwe was worse, so I gave him the worst punishment. So two different opinions here about which one is worse. Is it worse to have Makas Mardis or Nidwe, and what actually he was suggested. So now, interesting question, Minchas Chinuch asks a question, he wants to know, why in the world was Rav Asi in the first place, Rav Nassim Ba'asa, going against Yantav Sheni? He was an Amora, he was a Talmud Chacham, why did he go against it? So a few different answers are suggested. One answer suggested is that he was violating Tchum. So since Yantav Sheni is only Dirabanan, he felt Tchum, which is also Mid-Dirabanan, perhaps Yantav Sheni did not take on the Chumrah of Tchum either. That's one suggestion. The Meiri says that he came from a place where the Beirav was in a place in Eretz Yisrael, where they kept one day. For him, it was a regular day. So there's no Tchum. It was a Chol HaMoed. It was a weekday. But once he entered into the city where they kept the Yantav Sheni, then Mimele what he did was the Aser. So that's just an interesting Chiddush, how, you know, on the way, it's Mutter. But retroactively, when you go to a new city, it ends up becoming Aser. And the Minchas Chinuch says, no, it's a situation. There were certain cities that when they sent out the Shluchim, that it was the new moon that they reached there, but they were only able to reach certain cities, were only able to get there before Pesach. But certain cities in Tishrei were not able to get the word before Tisha, before Sukkot. What's the difference? It's 14 days in Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Hashanah, right? Because since Tishrei has some Gedalia, people are fasting, they can't travel, and Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to travel, the less days are allowed to travel to get on time to Sukkot. So the radius that they're able to reach was smaller for Tishrei than it was for Pesach. So there are certain cities that for Pesach, they knew it was one day. But for Sukkot, they only knew they kept 2 days, which was an interesting situation. So he was in one of those cities where it was like a two-day, one-day type of thing, Sukkot versus Pesach. And therefore, there was a bit of a confusion. He felt since there was an area that was in the radius of reach within Pesach, he thought even by Sukkot's time, he could also keep 1 day. But the truth is, no. Since Sukkot, he was in an area where they wouldn't reach by Sukkot's time because Yom Kippur and Tzom Gedalia and 2 days Rosh Hashanah broke it up. Therefore, it was actually considered a two-day city, and that was the confusion. Okay, now the rest of the daf, I'm an Aleph and a Beis, has to do with Biur Shvius now. We discussed Biur Shvius yesterday, a few days ago as well. Today it's going to be all about the Shemitah. So we have to just remind ourselves just for a moment, the statement of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, which is a very, very cryptic statement, and we're going to have five or six different pshat in what he meant in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah had taught us in the beginning of the Perek that if a person has a Shvius that requires Biur, so if a call is from Makum Shekalu to Makum Shelokalu, or Makum Shelokalu to Makum Shekalu, you always take the chumrah on. If you come from a place where they finish the shvius fruit, you need to burn it. And if you go to a place where they already finished the shvius fruit, you need to burn it as well. Rabbi Yehuda had a statement which said, Tsei vavei lecha afata. Take out, I'm just literally translating, take out, bring to you, you as well. So what does that mean? So that's what they're trying to figure out on today's daf now. So the Gemara says, Kiyotze bo, hamalach peyush shvius v'chut. The less say the Behuda, so now right the Havamina is, the Rashi explains what the Havamina, I'm not going to go through it. Rashi just simply says, it sounds like Behuda is Mekel. The fact that the Mishnah, the Tanakhama says that you have to take on the Chumrah from where you come and the Chumrah where you go to, Behuda's response, regardless of, we can't really translate it, but it must be saying Lakula, that he doesn't require you to take on the Chumrahs of where you come from and where you go. So the Gemara says, the less say the Behuda, Hadatan does not hold to the concept. No sin alav chumri hamakom sheyotze misham, the chumri hamakom shehalach lasham. He doesn't take on the chumras from where you go and where you come from. So Amar Rav Shishi b'rei d'Rav Eidi milsa achrisa k'amar. Rabbi Yehuda was addressing something else, a different case that wasn't addressed in the Mishnah. B'hachi k'amar, omi makom shelo kalu l'makom shelo kalu. So now you went from one city, which the fruit didn't expire yet, to another city where it also didn't expire. Everything's fine right now. However, when you get to city B, shama shekalu b'makomo. You heard where you came from, they actually finish up their fruit in the field. So now, Tanakama holds a chayv levar. That's what we're adding into the Mishnah that wasn't mentioned. We're adding in, Tanakama holds, you must burn it because the city you came from is burning it. They have no more fruit in the field. You go out and bring, from where you are. Right now, we're in a city B. And city B, it's shalokalu. Therefore, holokalu lehu. And therefore, I'm allowed to continue eating. So when you already left the city, but the time when you left, it was lokalu. Do you have to take on what has happened in the old city, even though you're not there anymore? Tanakama says yes. And there's a chiyah beer. Rabbi Yehuda says the moment you leave that city, you're not affected by any new change that might happen to the old city. You're bound by the new city only. That's Rabbi Yehuda's understanding.
This
is a statement that wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah. So they're adding in, this is a new case, a new scenario, and that's how we're going to fit in Rabbi Yehuda, and now he makes sense. So now, the Gemara says, L'meimra, is that to suggest Rabbi Yehuda l'kula kamar? Rabbi Yehuda is mekel? According to what we just said, he's mekel. That you don't have to burn the fruit, even though the city from where you came just told you, sent out the announcement, we no longer have figs in the field. You don't have to listen to them, you could continue to eat the fruit. So he's mekel, because the Tanakhama says you have to burn the fruit, you have to take on the new news you heard from the old city, you need to burn it. But v'ha amar Rabbi Eliezer lo amar Yehuda, Ela l'chumra, we have the statement, Rabbi Yehuda is coming to be machmir, not coming to be mekel. So now we have to revisit this case in the Mishnah. Ela epach, let's switch it around. And really, in that scenario where it was a makum shalokalu, the makum shalokalu, v'shama shakalu, there, Tanakhama holds, eino chai levar, you don't have to burn, you can continue to eat. And it's Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, tseva velecha, because we can do what we want. These words make no sense to us. We could do whatever you want with them. So Rashi tries to figure out how the words exactly work, but tseva velecha afata, what does that mean? Mehecha de esayinu, from where you come from. Remember, where did the fruit originate from? From city A? V'hokalu in city A, v'hokalu. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, you have to do beer. So we just switched around the shitas, and everything works nicely. That's all the first suggestion of the Gemara. So now the Gemara comes along and brings the Shita, the suggestion of Abaye. Abaye, remember, I say this often, Abaye doesn't like to change words in the Mishnah. So Abaye Amar Liom Kedekatani. Really, we're going to take it at face value, more face value. He's not going to add a whole new scenario in the Mishnah, but he's going to add in a couple words at least. V'hachi Kamar. The Mishnah says, O mimakum shalokalu, l'makum shalokalu. You came from city A, where they didn't finish the fruits in the field yet. And you came to city B, where they did finish the fruits. V'achzirin l'makomam. And now you return back to the initial place, city A, where it's still dayin lo kalu, so eino chai levar. Right, you went from city A, which the fruit are outside still, city B, and no fruit of the field. You return back to city A, where again, makom shelo kalu. So now, do you acknowledge that you went to a city B in the middle, or do you say you were in city A the whole time, and you can still continue to eat? Or do you have to take on the chumrah of city B that you stopped off along the way? So the Gemara says, according to Tanakhama, eino chai levar, because you could just really ignore the fact that you were in city B just as a stopover. You were in city A from beginning to end, and they're still considered a makum shelo kalu. But Rabbi Yehuda's mach, Rabbi Yehuda says, tsei vavelecha afata, mehecha daisina, go bring from where you come from. You just came from city B. Valkalula, and you're bound by the rules of city B, and you have to go ahead and burn the shavias. So Gemara says, asks a question to Abai. Maskev la Rav Ashi, the Rabbi Yehuda, atu agaba de chamra kaltinu. Are you riding the back of the donkey? Meaning, just because you had a little stopover in city B, it doesn't mean you take on the chumras. You're a guy who lives in city A. You know, your guy travels the world and he has a stopover in Dubai. The guy wasn't in vacation in Dubai. He had a stopover in Dubai. That's not called Dubai. Yeah, you were in the airport, but you weren't hanging out there. There wasn't a place where you were living and spending time. And therefore, you could ignore city B, even according to Yehuda. And that can't be the case of the Mishnah. So what's the case of the Mishnah? Rav Ashi himself weighs in. Ela Amar Rav Ashi. They're arguing about a completely different topic now. The topic is the Tanan Mishnah and Meseches, it's a Tosefta and Shavias, says as follows. Actually, the Mishnah Shavias. Hakovesh Shlosha Kvashim Bechavas Achas. A person is pickling. He's pickling three different types of fruit in one pickle jar. So he has, I don't know, figs, dates, and pomegranates, let's say. And the din is, and this is during the year Shemitah. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer Ochen Al Harishon. So now they're all pickled in the same juices in the same jar. So let's say, I don't know, figs are the first ones to finish the Zman Bir Shvias happens for Tainas first, figs. And dates and Rimonov later on. But since they're all together with the Teina, and Teina is the first one to have his man beer, you have to burn all three of them together. That's the first opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Shu Omer, Af al Achron. No, you have to wait until the last one. Let's say pomegranate is the last one of his man beer, even though the figs already have his man beer, which is Hanukkah time. And the dates, whenever the dates are his man beer for Tamar. And now Rimonim is the last one. You could continue to still eat the fig and the date until the Zman Beer comes for the Rimon. So he's very, very makel, Rabbi Yeshua, in this particular case. And comes along now Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, no. Kol Shekol Amino, Minasadar, Yivar Mino. You look at each one independently, Minachavis, Falacha Kidvar. Meaning, the fig, just because it's pickled in the same jar, is not going to be impacted by the date or by the Rimon. The fig is a fig. The Rimon's a Rimon, and the Tamar is a Tamar. And therefore, each one goes according to its type of Min. That's Manbir. That's the Machlokis, the Mishnah. What does it have to do with Tanakam and Yehuda here in the Mishnah Maseches Pesachim? So Rashi says, without reading through the Rashi, Rashi is the Tanakam in our Mishnah Pesachim, who is more Makil, holds like Rabbi Yeshua, that you could go based on Af ala Achron. You could go based on the latest man of the fruit that's in the jar. And according to Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah Pesachim, he goes according to Rabbi Gamliel, who does each minute separately, which means he's more Machmir. The fruits will not take on the kulas, the latest man of the other fruits that's being pickled with. So how that fits into the Mishnah, I have no idea. But something very ambiguous with the Mishnah, so they're trying to figure out ways that might make sense. So that's the suggestion of Rav Ashi. Now comes along Ravina. Ravina is the final suggestion of how to understand the machlokas between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Ravina Amar, Biplux of the Honey Tanai, they're arguing about a different topic. The Tanai, the Mishnah tells us this too is in Maseches Shvius. Ochlin b'tamarim, acha yichla ha'achron shibitzoa. You eat the dates until the final date, there's no more dates left in the field. You look high and low for dates. You can't find the dates, that's when you stop eating. You have to burn the tamarim in your house. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is more machmir. Omer, he says, Ochlin al shabena kifin, vein ochlin al shabena shitzim. So Beit HaKifim, if you find dates that are on the tree, the normal way to grow, that's considered available. But let's say you have some dates that grow, it seems like on the bottom of the tree, sometimes you could find, like stuck between, hard to reach, that area, Beit HaShitim, that we won't tolerate, that's not considered still the field. Well, Tanakhama says, no, Bein Bekifin, Bein Beshitin, whether it's in the higher parts of the tree or even the low, hard-to-get parts of the tree, that's still considered available in the Sada. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi plugs everything in. Top Rashi, Nun Beis and Beis, says Rashi. Ochlin al shebein hakipin derech dekolim dokle dekolim liyos bikarin kotim. They had some like thorns saviv hainu shitim. There's these shitim, little thorns at the bottom of the date trees. Uminadekel asman hain. They're from the tree itself. Ulemalo alin shala asurin kisidron kimin kapos tamar. And they have the little like lulav and branches on the top, the palm beach leaves. Uksharuach menasheva tamar. When the wind blows, the tamarim noflin, the dates fall. V'nishon ba'osin kifin ulamata b'shitin. Some remain on the top of the tree, and others fall in the cracks of the thorns in the bottom of the tree. Ukamer b'shim gamliel, the chalzman shimitzuin b'kifin. When they're in the top area, ochlin me'osin shibabais. That means they're still available on the tree, and you could continue to eat that which is in your house. Avol ein ochlin minabais al smach osin shibatzitzin. But to say that some dates are stuck between the little thorns at the bottom, that you can't rely on. The animals can't get to it. It's too hard. There are thorns over there. That's considered no longer available in the field. Tanakama says, only if it's called a gamre, there's no more dates at all. Even if they're among the thorns, they have to be done even menashitim, then it's chai levar. But if they are no longer on top of the trees, but they're still stuck between the thorns and the bottom, you don't have to burn it. That's a kula of Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, take from the place that's fit to take, which is on the trees, but not that which is stuck between the thorns. So that's the final approach as to what the machlokas is between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so now the Gemara continues once from the topic of Bir Shvius. It wants to know about different areas of Shvius and learning the source. We've been discussing Bir Shvius. What's the basis of Bir Shvius? So the Gemara says two lines down on Nun Beis and Beis. Tanan Hasim, the Mishnah again in Masechah Shvius, Perek Tes. Shalosh Aratzos Lebir. There are three different sections of Eretz Yisrael when it comes to Shvius. Yehuda, Evar Yarden, Vegalut. Those are three different sections. And within each of these three sections, Shalosh Artos Bechol Achas V'Achas. Each one has three different territories. So Yehuda has three different Aratos, and Galil, and Aver Yarden. So there are a total of nine different areas of regarding Shemitah. V'lama Amr Shalosh Artos Lebir. Why do you have three different sections within each of these larger sections? She Ochlin Bechol Achas V'Achas Ad Sheikh La'achron Shibah. So let's say in Yehuda, So Yehudi, you have three different territories. So let's say territory A, there's no longer dates in the field, but territory B has. Or let's say territory A and B both lose, but C has still. So you allow it to still eat on smach of the last area still has dates in the field. That's good enough. That's all independent within Yehuda. And Avar Yarden has its own zman, and so too when it comes to the Galil. So Gemara says, Minani Mila, how do you know that that's the case? That you're allowed to eat fruit in your house so long as there's fruit available in the fields. Amar Rav Chama Bar Ukva, Amar Rav Yosi Bar Chanina, Amar Kada, the Pasuk says, Uluvehemtecha Ulechaya Sher Batzecha. We've been discussing this the whole time, the past few days, but we haven't brought the source yet. So Kozman Shechaya Ocheles Min Asadeh. So long as the wild animals are eating the field, meaning they're available in the field, Hechal Lebehema Sher Bebayis, you could feed your animals in your house, the domesticated animals. Kala l'chaya asher besada, but if it's no longer available in the fields for the chaya, then kala l'vemtecha m'nabayis, you have to get rid of it in the house as well. So that's the source. There's most Rishonim hold that this is a din deraisa. Bir shvius is a din deraisa. The Ramban, for some reason, thinks it's an asmachta ba'almya. Many have a hard time understanding why it's only a smachta, but that's the shita of the Ramban. The Gemiri, either way, you have a tradition. The ein chaya shebi Yehuda gedela al peris shebi Galil. The wild animals in Yehuda don't eat the fruit in the Galil. The ein chaya shebi Galil gedela al peris shebi Yehuda. So in other words, even though let's say the Galil lost its fruit and Yehuda has fruit, maybe you should say you should be somech on the fruit in Yehuda. And the Gemara says no, because Yehuda and Galil, the animals don't cross the borders. Why not? So some say because they're very far from each other. Others say because the ecosystems are very different. They can't function. They can't live in those different areas. But each areas are considered separate sections, and that's how we learn.
I don't understand why the three sections within each of the three places help at all.
Just to point out that just because your particular area, there's no area in your field, you could still be samech on one that's a little bit further, as long as it's in the overall section.
It wouldn't be divided. You would say the same. Like, what is the division?
No, there must be some natural divisions that already exist. So one might have thought that, yeah. Exactly, just call it Galil, call it Yehuda, call it Avar Yarden, exactly. So then the Gemara says, Tani Rabbanan, Perush Shiyatsim Eretz Yisrael L'chutz La'aretz, fruit that you had taken from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, this becomes a very lemaisa. Certainly a lot of wines. Wines you're going to see in the next few years, it's going to be Shemitah wines. If you take it from Chutz La'aretz to Chutz La'aretz, from Eretz Yisrael. The din is, Mizbarin Bechal Makom, you could burn it wherever you are, Shehen. I mean, you have to bring it back to Eretz Yisrael to burn. You burn it in Chutz La'aretz, wherever you are. However, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Yechazu L'mkom, you have to bring it back to Eretz Yisrael, Vizbaru Misham, and burn it there, Mishum Shinemra, it says in the Pasuk, Ba'artzecha, Ba'artzecha, you have to burn it, Ba'artzecha, Dafkan Eretz Yisrael, you have to burn it. So Gemara says, wait a second, how could you use the word Ba'artzecha? Ha fiksa kari. We already used this for another drasha above ba'artzecha. We mentioned this above. Levemtecha l'chaya she ba'artzecha. The kala, kozman shechaya ochelas me'asada hechel behemet she be'bayis. Artzecha is used for that drasha. How do you use it for another drasha? They have to burn it be'eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara says kari be be'eretz. Why? What's ba'artzecha the extra chaf? Oh, nami me'asher ba'artzecha. There's either an extra letter or an extra word to have two drashas. One drasha again to teach me. It was Kozman Shechai Ochelas Mesada Hechal Behemet Shevayis. And number two is, according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, you have to burn Bir Shvius in Eretz Yisrael. So we're about to see how we passing. Before we go to see how we passing, if you look at Tosos, Dima Maschel Mizbarin, he has two days how exactly when it comes to Bir Shvius does not mean you actually have to burn it. Doesn't mean Eish. Doesn't mean Losavar Eish Bechal Moshe Seichem. Bir means to get rid of it. How do you get rid of it? So Tosas writes, Tosas quotes from Rashi first, Mizbarin Bechol Makom, Perisha Kuntris, says Rashi, Shinosin Osan Lemirmas Chayo Behema. You give it to the animals to eat, but you can't eat. People can't eat it. Only animals, a Chayo Behema, you have them finish it up. Below near, says Tosas, this does not appear to be correct. The Mutarin Acher Bir La'anim L'chulyamo. He goes on to quote from the Mishnah that after beer, you're actually allowed to give it to an ani. The Tzan Hasim, the Mishnah Meseches Shviyah says, Misha hayulo peris shviyas. If you have peris shviyas, what should you do with it? He gives shasa beer, mechalkin mazon shalosh sudos lechalechad aniyim ochlin achar beer. You could give it to anyone to eat it. Give three sudos. This way, it'll be finished within a day. You shouldn't leave it over in your house, but you could give it for someone to eat. Doesn't mean to get thrown in the garbage. You eat it. You're allowed to eat shviyas fruit. Just make sure you finish every single drop of it. Don't let it go to waste. But Tosas on the bottom says he rejects Rashi. Rashi again. Rashi only give it to the animals. Tosas he give it to the aniyim even. The Tosa says in the bottom last five, six lines, Omeri, Ha demashma b'chol makom, aser lesel lechel achar beer. That which it says you can't eat the fruit after the zman beer, hainu kishimashe bebeso b'cheska shalom. If you leave the fruit in your house, which giving the impression that it's yours, that you own it, you have full rights to it, that's why you say it's aser for a person to eat. Aval im mafkiro, if you mafkir, whoever wants it could take it, umotim reshuso, you let it sit out in, I don't know, the shul, out in the street, then the din is sheyochal kol mishiyut, whoever wants could eat it, hein adam, hein chaya, mutal achniso lechol achar bir, then one would be allowed to. As long as you don't take ownership like it's yours, then even a person would be allowed to eat it. That's the understanding of Tosas. What Rashi seems to say, I don't know how he addresses the Mishnah, but he says it sounds like people cannot actually eat it. That's what it seemed like, exactly. So now the Gemara quotes halfway down the page here, after establishing this machlokas between Tanakama and Rebbe Shimon, about whether or not you have to do bir chametz in Eretz Yisrael or even chutzar, so Gemara wants to know what exactly is halach l'maisa, how to be paskin. So Gemara says, Rav Safra, nafik me'Eretz Yisrael l'chutzlarts, and have about day garba the chamer de shvias he had with him, a bottle of a wine from the Shemitah grapes, that when he was going to chutzlarts. Alava Bahadei, Rav Huna, Braid of Ika, Rav Kana, they were escorting him, they were traveling with him. Amar Lahu, he says, Ika de Shamile, Minai de Rabbi Abahu, Halacha, Krav Shimon Elazar Olo. Did anybody hear, in the name of Rabbi Abahu, whether or not we pass like Rabbi Shimon Elazar that I have to go back and burn it in Eretz Yisrael, or I don't have to, I could get rid of it here? Amar Lahu, Rav Kana, Hachi Amar Rabbi Abahu, Halacha, Krav Shimon Elazar. That's what we pass that you have to do Bir Chame, Bir Shvias rather, in Eretz Yisrael. So Amar Lahu, Rav Huna, Braid de Rav Ika, no, Hachi Amar Rabbi Abahu. Ain halacha krom shemalazar. We don't pass like you meant beer shvius could take place even in chutzlars. So Amar Rav Safra says nakit hakala Rav Huna biyadech. You should hold on to this klal from Rav Huna in your hand. The daik v'gamer shmeisa mipume de Ravye. He would learn from his rebbe. Rav Huna learned from his rebbe very clear. Kirachva the pumbadisa, just like Rav was very also clear in how he learned in pumbadisa. What do we know about Rav Rachva? We saw this early in the Masechta. Amar Rachva, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Harabai Stav Kafel Haya, Stav Lefanim Stav. Remember that discussion about the Stav on Harabai? It was a Daf Ches or something like that, where they had a discussion. He was very medaklik what it was called, Itztava versus Stav, even though there's no Nafkamina, but very, very makbid what the word should be used. So that's how medaklik Rav Huna was as well. And since he had the, his Masar was from Rabbi Abahu, that Ein Alacha, Kurim and Shimon Alazar, that must be how we pass him. And the Gemara then says, Kari le Rav Yosef. Yosef referred to him using invoking the pasuk in Hosea, Ami be'eto yishal umaklo yagid lo. And he's just making a reference to the word mekel, that kol mekel lo magid lo. He told you that which was mekel. Not to say that he is always mekel, but at least in this particular application, he was mekel and said you do not have to do bir shvius in Eretz Yisrael. You could even perform bir shvius in chutzlart. So now the Gemara has a little maisa here that Rabbi Eli cuts kafnaisa de shvius. He cut down this date tree during Shemitah. And look at Rashi to understand what type of date tree this was, because this is what's going to be important here. It's the first wide line down in Rashi. Katz kafnaisa de shvius dekel ton kafnaos. It was a dekel that had some type of small dates. And hein tamar katanim shelo bishlu. There were grapes, dates that were small and not ripe. V'kata tzadekel le'etzim v'hefzit kafnaos. He cut them down to use this as a fire, as a firewood. And he didn't let it grow. And he was mafsid the dates, the shvius dates. So what's the problem with this? What did he do wrong? So Gemara says, Hechi avid hachi. How is he able to do this? The pasuk says, la'achla. You have to eat Shemitah fruit, amar achmana, v'lo lehafsid. You can't destroy them. So he destroyed them. He didn't allow them to develop and to grow. He was mafsid perish shvius, and you can't do that. V'chitem, if you're going to tell me, hani mile hecha denachas lepiri, that's only true when it's actually a fruit. Aval hecha de lo nachas lepiri lo, but if it hasn't yet got to the size of a fruit yet, you're allowed to actually cut it down. So right now, the Gemara is not even addressing the question of Baal Tashkis, which is another iser of destroying a fruit tree. But there are ways around that as well. Just one simple answer would be that when the wood itself is more valuable than the fruit, then you actually are allowed to cut down mitzad the iser of Baal Tashkis. So forgetting the Baal Tashkis issue right now, the Gabi Shvius, so maybe the iser la'achla v'lo lehefzid is only true when there's actually fruit. But since these dates are not yet ripe, they're not considered fruit yet, maybe it should be permitted. But we'll see now in just a moment that actually even these kafnayos are considered fruit. V'ha'amar Rav Nachman, amar Rabba bar Avua, hani mischali de Arla, asiri. These mischali of Arla are aser. Why? Hol v'nase shomer lepiri. So these coverings of the fruit of Arla. Arla, just to backtrack for a second, Arla, the first three years of a fruit tree, is aser to eat, is aser midin Arla. And even the klipa, the shell that's around the dates, that's also considered aser. Why? That's not a fruit. But shomer the pri, it protects the fruit. So even the shomer the pri is considered a pri, and aser midin arla. So now the Gemara wants to know, emes havi, Now, this shomer lepri, this covering of the fruit, when exactly does it develop? Emas have bekofre, and yet still kakari lepiri. In other words, we say that the coverings of the dates are aser because they're shomer lepri. When do they start developing? When the dates are very small, when they're the size of kafanios. So if we're calling the shomer lepri a pri, certainly the kafanios themselves are peros. That means they are peros. And if they are actually peros, even when they're very, very small, how then was Rabbi Elai able to cut them down? Isn't it a violation of la'achla v'lo lehefse? So the Gemara says, no. Rabbi Nachman, who was machmir, d'amer ki Rabbi Yossi, d'tnan Rabbi Yossi omer, smadar aser mipnei shupiri. That he felt, Rabbi Yossi had this das yachid, that when the smadar is referring to the grapes, when they're very, very small, they're considered fruit. So too, when the dates are very small, they're considered fruit. So if you understand that way, this all makes sense. That's why the arlo's aser, that's Rabbi Aser during Shemitah. However, there is the opinion of Pligi Rabbanale, the Tanakama argues Rabbi Yossi and says that smadar is not aser, it's too small. So too, the dates, when they're so small, are not considered fruit. They wouldn't be subject to arlo, neither would they be subject to the iser of shvius, and therefore rely passing like the Chachamim that this would not be subject to the violation of la'achla, l'hefse, because it was not a developed fruit. So now the Gemara says, Maskevla Rav Shimi Minaharda, Umi Pligi Rabbana led Rabbi Yossi, Bishar Ilanos, is it true? Granted, Rabbana might argue Rabbi Yossi Lagabi the Smadar, by the small grapes. But by Shar Ilanos, other trees, including the date tree, they don't seem to argue. They agree that even when they're very small, the dates are still considered fruit. Where do we see this? Vatzna, the Mishnah tells us in Masech HaShviyis, Me'emas ha'in kotis in esha ilanos b'shviyis, when are you not allowed to start cutting down the fruit trees because it's klachla v'lehefseid? At what point is the grape developed, the fruits develop that you can't destroy it anymore? What's the stage? Be'shami omrim, kol ha'ilanos mishiyotzi. Be'shami took a very simple approach. Whenever you see something growing out, rashes the leaves, whenever the tree begins to blossom, that's when it's usher to cut down any part of the tree. At that point, a very early stage. Be'shol omrim, no. Ha'charuvim mishiyershishu. When the carob trees begin to have the little chains, you know, image on the fruit, that's when they're very too developed. Don't cut them down at that stage. When it comes to the grapes, says the Gemara in Daf Nun Gimel, Mishia Griu, when they start to develop a little bit larger, we'll see what that means in just a second. Vazesim, the olives of Mishia Nitzu, when they start to get this shell on the outside, a little covering, at that stage, a little bit more developed than what Beis Shammai is referring to. However, Shar, Kol Yilanos, all other fruits, including dates, Mishiyotzi, whenever it starts to grow something, even a small thing, it's going to be fruits, even according to Tanakama. So Kafanios are considered parents according to Rabbanim. And further, just to finish to clarify this Mishnah, V'amar Rav Asi, hu boser, hu girua, hu pulalavan. When the word boser is used, it's the same exact size of girua, a very small grape. And it's also the same as a pulalavan, which is a type of bean. Where it says, pulalavan, sakadaitach? How do you say a grape is a pulalavan? A grape isn't a bean. So the Gemara means, no, ela ema, shiuro ki pulalavan. When the grape is the size of a bean, that's the size of a smadar, that's the size of a girua, that's the grape we're referring to. When it develops that much, which is very small, then you can't cut down the grape trees during Shemitah. So Ella, again, Ema Shira Kipul 11. Either way, Man Shmasai Da'amar Bosar in Smadar Lo Rabbanan. And even the Rabbanan are the ones authoring this Mishnah, Katani, yet they still write, Shar Kolilanos Mishiyotziu, when any other fruit trees, other than the olives, carobs, and grapes, which are mentioned, all other fruits, even when it comes out a tiny bit, so the tiny dates are considered subject to the iser of Shviyas. So how then was Rabbi Elai able to cut down the Kafnaisa, the Shviyas, if both Rabbi Yossi and Rabban say it's ushered to cut down such fruits? And the Gemara answers, and we'll finish with this, Ella, Rabbi Elai, bidinishani kates. He cut down a nishani tree. What's a nishani tree? Says Rashi here, around 10 narrow lines down. Bidinishani kates, tamarim shal dekel zachar. He cut down a male tree, a male date tree. Veina misbashim bo olamas. They don't develop at all on the tree. The golden osan binisan, you collect them in nisan. Vehein misbashos me'elen. They end up ripening on their own. Bekli kabos tamarim. If you put them in a type of basket made of kabos tamarim, that's how they're going to ripen. Uliom hein katanas, they stay small forever. So halacha ve'hilkach, Rabbi Elai lo hifsid midei. He didn't destroy anything. Nothing was destroyed. There's nothing for it to gain. It doesn't grow anymore. It grows to its capacity. The way for them to grow is to cut them off, actually, and then put them in the basket. So that's why he did nothing wrong. So let's quickly recap what we did. We start by talking about Shnei Yamim Tovim Shel Galios. Then in the midbar, you're allowed to do what you want, but in the yeshiv, you can't. You have to continue the practice, the minhag v'sinim b'yadenu b'yeshiv. And then we had the ma'isa of Rabbi Nassim, who traveled on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Atzeres from Beirav to Pampadisa. He was excommunicated. He was lashed. Both those discussions going on. And then the Gemara spoke about the how to understand the cryptic language of Rabbi Yehuda about Bir Shvi's, with a few different understandings. One is, I don't want to go through all the different discussions, but he went from city A to city B, city B, city A, or maybe one situation was the three kvashim, the pickled jar, three fruits in one jar pickling. And then we had the suggestion, maybe it's referring to the dates that fell on the bottom of the date tree that are stuck between the thorns that the animals couldn't get through, versus the dates that were on top of the tree. And then Amud Beis, we went through the different sections where we have Yehuda, Galil, Eber, Yarden, in terms of each one has its own siman of beer, based on the pasuk of Hemtecha L'chaya Asher Be'artzecha. And then when a person brings fruit from Eretz Yisrael to Chutzarts, whether Bir Shemitah must take place in Eretz Yisrael, like Rav Shimon Elazar, or even Chutzarts, like Tanakama. Based on the back and forth discussion, we ended up assuming, like the Tanakama, that you could do Bir Shemitah even in Chutzarts. And then we had the discussion of Rabbi Eli, that he cut down the Kafnasa, the dates during a Shemitah, and different suggestions as to why he was able to do it, because La'achla, L'Hefzid, and we concluded because it was a male date tree, which case the fruits don't grow much bigger than they were. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day.